At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here, and we're attending to the ISS, where, docked right now, is a commercial spacecraft called Starliner, and therein lies the tale. Bob, a very good evening to you. Starliner is parked indefinitely, that is, no return date on ISS. The last time we talked about details having to do with the spacecraft itself, has there been any significant advance in the engineering thinking about the coming back?
No, actually not. But what happened last week, they delayed it twice, a few days each time. And then at the very end of the week, they announced they're delaying it into July indefinitely. No date set at the moment. The return, this is the return of the capsule with two astronauts on board. There are issues on the capsule that occurred during launch and docking having to do with thrusters. That's the biggest issue. So thrusters failed. And they've done some hot fire tests to see if they can get over that problem is controllable. But the delays, they said, this most recent decision to delay until July with no specific date, NASA claimed it was in order to avoid any conflicts with several spacewalks that were planned by American astronauts on ISS to do various repair work on the outside of the station. That's what the reason they gave. But they also have indicated that they want to have more time in space for this capsule for demo purposes, to find out how it fares when it's in space longer. These are the reasons NASA's giving. It is possible that they want to review additionally the thrust, the data from the static fire test they've done of those thrusters, and there's some concerns. There's possibility there's issues here they're not telling us. I'm tending to think no. It's they want to extend the life on ISS as long as they can to get more data, and they want to have more time to review the data, and they had scheduling issues. I will say, John, that those scheduling issues have kind of vanished because a spacewalk that was supposed to happen this week was canceled early this week when the astronauts got into their spacesuits. They opened the airlock, and they had to then close the airlock because one of the suits was flooding. There was a water issue in one of the suits, in one of the umbilical cords of the suit. This is a problem that's happened previously with the American suits with too much water, condensation, some issue. And so we don't really know any details about that, but that cancellation means those, and because it's a technical problem with the spacesuit, I don't know when those spacewalks will occur. So there's no conflict anymore with the spacewalks. So Starliner can come back at almost any time.
Puzzle. Puzzle, go ahead, John. Puzzle. There's a leak somewhere, and it's more than one place. What is that leak?
Are you talking about on Starliner?
Yes.
There are helium leaks within the capsule. The helium is used as like a pressurization gas to keep fuel moving through tanks and fuel lines. And they have a tank with enough helium to easily cover the rest of the mission. And the leaks are very small, and so they're not particularly concerned. It's not a major problem. It's an issue that should be addressed, but it's not a major problem of any kind. They launched with the leaks knowing they were there, knowing the size of the leaks were tiny, and it was not going to impact the mission, and it's still the case. That's not a big issue. There was a valve problem, but they've apparently cleared that valve by opening and closing it a bunch of times, and it seems to be functioning now. At least that's what they say. The issue is the thrusters. You use those thrusters to get back to Earth, and if they're not working as you expect, you could strand the astronauts in orbit. And so they've been very careful to test those, and they say the tests work, but we'll have to wait and see.
Bob, leadership. what we've had is a series of delays, ULA, weather, the launch delays, and then when they finally launched Starliner, we run into there's a leak, there are thruster problems, we'll give you this date for return, then we'll do that date for return, now we don't have a date, now there's a spacesuit. Now, old-fashioned way, you would say there's a gremlin on board.
But yes.
New-fashioned way is it's leadership. Is there a way to talk about who's in charge of making all these calls? Because you explain things very rationally. But I'm looking at the big picture about nothing but problems. Problem, problem, problem. And somebody's making decisions, it feels spontaneously, not in an organized fashion.
All right. I'll tell you, there's several issues here. One, you have Boeing. There's quality control problems in Boeing. This capsule shouldn't have the kind of problems it's having at this stage of the game, not with two unmanned demo missions, not with several years delay, not with all this time and money spent. This shouldn't be having these kind of problems. But it is. That's Boeing. There's a question there. That's first. Second is NASA. NASA's management is making some really stupid decisions in this whole matter. For example, when the first manned Dragon capsule came to ISS, they planned a two-month stay. But they, at that time, they knew that the return date was variable. But they didn't keep announcing additional delays days at a time incrementally, because that gives the impression there's a problem. Instead, they planned for 2 months, but they said this is a variable date, it could change at any time. And then as they got close, they said, you know, we're going to extend it for a week for weather reasons and for other reasons, and that was fine. But here, what NASA's doing is releasing these delays incrementally. They would have been much better off when they launched to say the return date right from the start is variable. It could be in July, it could be sooner. We're going to see how this plays out. And then it wouldn't feel so much off the cuff or improvised and not thought out. So that's a PR problem with NASA. The spacesuit issue is once again a NASA problem. NASA spent 15 years and $1 billion working on spacesuit designs and then finally gave up after $1 billion, never building anything, and then issued two contracts to two private companies who are really building very quickly new suits that should be ready in about a year or so. After about 2 years of construction. So the private enterprise is getting it done. NASA could not. And so we're stuck with NASA suits on ISS that have problems all the time. And that's that issue, Jerry.
Let's go to a good story. Firefly, where are they, Bob?
Firefly is a rocket startup. They also do a lot of things like orbital tugs and lunar landers they're building. They have a rocket called Alpha, which they've launched a bunch of times. They have another launch coming up in just a week or so. They were originally going to launch that out of both Vandenberg and Cape Canaveral, but they've now announced, this is the story, that Alpha rocket is not going to launch from Cape Canaveral on the East Coast. It's going to launch from Wallops Island in Virginia instead. And this makes some sense because Firefly has a contract with Northrop Grumman to build a new first stage for Northrop Grumman's Antares rocket. That Antares rocket used to use a Ukrainian first stage, but they've lost access to that with the Russian invasion in the Ukraine. And so they've hired Firefly to build a new first stage for them. And so since Firefly is building the Antares first stage, there's some compatibility with the launch pad now at Wallops Island for Firefly's rocket, and so they've decided to use that. And it also gives them a better inclination difference from Vandenberg, so they can do different kinds of launches. So they're going to do that, and that makes some sense, and hopefully in the next year or so, you're going to see launches from Firefly from two different spaceports.
All right, three space-related matters having to do with dealing with planet Earth and gravity. The first one is a family home damaged by NASA. The second one is debris found in North Carolina. They don't have one cause, but it is spacefaring. And Bob, you did the story about the family damaged. I don't remember. Something flew through the roof and almost hit a child. Is that what the story is?
Yeah, that's kind of true. There was a kid in the house when what happened is, let's start from the beginning. NASA ejected from ISS a battery. They thought the battery would burn up in the atmosphere. It was originally supposed to be brought back by a Japanese and burned up in the atmosphere by a Japanese cargo vessel, but that didn't work out. So they just ejected it and thought it would burn up in the atmosphere. Instead, it crashed through the roof of this Naples, Florida house. No one was hurt, but it damaged the house significantly. And so the owner of the house has now filed a claim with NASA for about $80,000 worth of repair work. They said this very clearly. They're not trying to be excessively demanding lots of money from NASA. They want to actually negotiate a deal reasonably to actually set a precedent for future situations. And this is a NASA battery. It was a NASA action. So NASA is responsible. And the Outer Space Treaty makes NASA liable for this damage. And so they're under negotiations to do this. And I think actually it would be a really good thing if this has worked out well with NASA, because it will help set precedent. And I have to tell you, the second story has to do with a second piece of group of debris that fell from a second Dragon service module, different from the one we talked about a few weeks ago in Canada. The previous one came down in February, and it dropped material in the farms in Canada, and SpaceX picked it up. We now have new debris that fell from a Dragon cargo service module that landed in North Carolina. And that once again indicates that the service module of Dragon capsules does not completely burn up in the atmosphere. And so SpaceX has an issue they have to deal with. They cannot drop material on land like this nonchalantly. They'll have liability concerns that could cost them a lot of money down the road. And so this is a space junk issue that has to be taken care of.
Airbus is writing off $1 billion. Why?
That's a good question. The article that I linked to on Behind the Black says it has to do with a backlog of producing engines for the Airbus jets they want to build. Airbus has gotten a lot more contracts for building airplanes because of problems at Boeing. But Airbus doesn't have the capability of building all those planes, and so it's causing them financial issues, apparently, cash flow issues, and maybe write-off cost issues. They're writing off almost $1 billion. The article makes no mention, however, of Airbus's partnership with Safran to build the Ariane 6 rocket. And I suspect that some of this write-off is actually related to that, John, because that rocket is essentially a failure. Airbus is not going to make a lot of money on that because no one wants to use it because it's very expensive. They have a contract with Amazon to launch Kuiper satellites, but that's it. And I think once that contract's complete, this rocket's not going to have any business. So I think that's part of this issue, at least. Either way, Airbus has got a problem. And it's funny because you'd think they'd be making loads of money because of Boeing's problem.
X-37B is reproducing itself. Last time we talked, China had one. Now India has one. What is this, competition?
In a sense, what India's got is a smaller scale prototype of a lifting body vehicle that they've been testing. They call it Pushpak. And what they're doing is they've done now three drop tests from a helicopter to simulate a runway landing coming back from orbit. And this is essentially the same kind of thing that X-37B does, as well as China's vehicle. The same kind of thing, but this is engineering tests preliminary to building the actual space vehicle. But they've now done three. They did their third complete drop test successfully. It landed on a runway, no damage. And they said it simulated the return from space. So if India's space agency wishes to now go on and actually build something, they have some test data to make it possible. I have no idea if ISRO will be more like NASA, where they do these tests and nothing else happens. It's very possible they will continue on.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to the far side of the moon. Well, actually, we're going to the far side of the moon, return to the planet Earth. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.